Good morning.
Good morning, good evening.
Good to be here this morning. It's always a special blessing to see all of you. As Kurt mentioned, and others know, I feel like I go way, 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 way back with you. Having attended here with Vacation Bible School when I was a child, so it's a number of years ago. But it is a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. And I realize most of you know, but there are a few new faces. So for those who may not know, I've been serving in Mongolia through Mennonite Mission Network since December of 1993. Mission Network is part of the consortium in Mongolia called JCS International. And I've served in a variety of roles during my time with JCS. And in past times when I've been back, I've shared more about the work that JCS has been doing. Today, I'll be sharing a little bit more on a personal level of my journey over the years. But how to summarize over 30 years in 30 minutes? That is a challenge, but I will share some things and am happy to meet with you later if you're interested in hearing a bit more. But as has been mentioned, I grew up in this area. I was a sophomore at Bluffton College, now university, when I sensed a call to go to the mission field. I was studying accounting at that time, and this didn't quite fit with a call to missions, so I took a break from school and went into VS, voluntary service. This took me to San Antonio, Texas. After serving in VS for 2 years, I stayed there and completed my accounting degree. Although I didn't realize it at the time, my involvement in San Antonio with a young church and working with several nonprofits to computerize their finance record, this was all good preparation for my work in Mongolia. The time between my call and my actual arrival in Mongolia was 10 years. That may seem like a long time, and it was a time of waiting, of preparation. Sometimes I searched for opportunities, but the doors were always closed. And then it happened. In 1993, it happened very quickly, and it was all in God's perfect timing. The moment I stepped from the plane onto the tarmac, at that time, there were no jetways from the plane to the airport, but stepping off the plane onto the tarmac, I had the sense, I'm home. It was an amazing feeling. Mongolia was a closed country, a socialist country, from 1921 to 1990. Mongolia transitioned away from communism in 1990, following a peaceful democratic revolution. The country opened, and humanitarian and mission organizations sought ways to get set up to help with development and assist the newly established church. My first role with JCS was working with finance. After several years in finance, the JCS board asked me to move to personnel, to HR, the HR department, which involved processing new volunteers, working with the foreign staff that came in, and helping some with member care. I learned a lot during this time, and although I enjoyed it, my heart really wanted to go to the countryside. Partly because of the needs there, but also because of my own selfish desire to be out of the city, out of Ulaanbaatar, the capital city. So after 10 years working in the office, I had an opportunity to move to a smaller city for a full year of language study. This was in Erdenet, north of Ulaanbaatar. But for a variety of reasons, when I first went to Mongolia, it was difficult to do language study, visa-wise, time-wise, just a number of reasons. So I did part-time study. So I had established a good foundation, but really long to do full-time study to get more conversant. What's the word I want? I didn't write this down, so I can't remember the word. But just to be able to do more than the basic conversations to improve my language. So that year full-time study was good for me. And the studying language itself was challenging. But in general, that time frame, I look back on my time, and that year was probably my most balanced year in Mongolia with being involved in the church and just overall schedule. But after that year of language study, I spent 2 years working in a JCS project, helping with the microenterprise, a small business loan aspect of it. The location was a large town, but it was remote. And at that time, the roads to get there were not very good, so the best way to travel was by train. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about changes that we've seen from many years ago to now. And in Mongolia, many things have changed over the years, one of them being the road structure. But so being involved in that project was a very good experience, not only with the project work and meeting people, but it really helped improve my language. And that was good preparation for my next assignment in Bayan Hunger, which is to the southwest of Ulaanbaatar. So for the activities in Bayan Hunger, JCS tried a new approach. They, instead of just placing people in different locations, JCS formed a team and sent the whole team to a new location. And so I was involved in that team, and there were two other families as well. I served as the Bayan Hunger representative and was the liaison between the local Bayan Hunger government and the JCS office in Ulaanbaatar. This was not as big of a position as it sounds, but I think I can safely say most everything in Mongolia is on a much smaller scale. The bigger titles are still used, but operations are on a smaller scale. But so I was able to meet with the government officials, and most of the time I could do that on my own. So my language at that time was much better than it is now. But but when we did have like contracts that we needed to do or something more crucial conversations, then I did have a translator with me. But so in Bayan Hunger, I thrived. Was it always easy? Definitely not. But I was in a role that I enjoyed. I was in a location that I enjoyed. I was doing some of this and some of that. So things weren't tied to only one activity. But I was involved in the church. I was involved in the community. I knew people. And being part of the church, it wasn't leading in any way, but just walking alongside people in their growth in the church. When it was time for JCS to leave Bayan Hunger, I was more or less ready. I knew the time would come. However, at the same time, it was hard to leave that setting because it meant I moved back to Ulaanbaatar, to the capital city. The city, during the 10 years I was in Bayan Hunger, the capital city, Ulaanbaatar, changed a lot. There were times I would be traveling on a street, I was with others, and I'd look around me and not know where I was because of all the new buildings that were around. So it made a huge change. But it was a necessary step. JCS invited me back into a finance role in the office, and that was more for oversight. Excuse me. That was more for oversight since we had a good accountant in the office, but it was also to help on the leadership team and to be a voice for the people from the countryside. The role actually fit me well, but I did find it challenging to be back in the city. I didn't realize that at the time, but that readjustment was huge for me. Shortly after that, well, about 6 months after that, I was asked to serve as the interim executive director. We had an executive director who had served for two terms, 4-year terms, and then extended a year, and then extended a year. And the board finally said, we can't continue to expect her to extend. She was really wanting to get back into teaching and to do some other things. And so they asked me to serve as an interim director until they could hopefully find someone for a longer term. My first thought was, no. But then God showed me how he had been laying the groundwork, preparing me for that role. So 1 year, I thought, okay, with God's grace and mercy for this season, for 1 year, I can do this. It stretched me in many ways, but overall, the year did go well, largely due to the prayers that were said for me throughout the year here and with the Mongolian Mission Partnership churches. I knew there was a lot of prayer behind this time for me. It was much appreciated. And 1 year was sufficient for the search committee. They did find a new executive director. And so that director started, and as in most cases, when new directors start, they make some adjustments. And so some changes were made in the office. I was asked to add this supervision of the office IT work to my role. And it was not because I knew that much about IT. It was just to be able to provide some supervision for part-time IT administrator. And it was an area I was interested in. So I did learn from our IT worker, and he told me that he learned from me as well. Not so much IT stuff, but just general office procedures and general aspects of working in an office. He was a fairly new university graduate, and so hadn't had a lot of experience. But we were good sounding boards for each other. Other changes were needed in JCS, especially in our finance structure, since we were heavily dependent on the fees that expatriate, the foreign members, paid to keep the office operating. The number of expatriate volunteers have been decreasing for a number of years, but the low numbers had reached a critical point. So the new director was attempting to address how we could possibly change our finance structure. Well, then COVID hit, threw everything for a loop. So things moved slowly, but we continued to look at what possible changes could be made for the long-term future. We had an outside consultant that had actually worked with other consortiums in other countries. This consultant, in working, the other consortiums were going through similar things that we were going through with needing to look at change. The world is changing. The organization needs to change. So this consultant came in to help us. And basically, it came down to, do we need to be much larger and strive to have much bigger projects and get government grants and go that route? Or do we basically stay the same, stay small, do our smaller projects have more of the individual touch to it? Some wanted to do a mixture of the two, but the consultant was advised that it's hard to do that. And it was actually hard to define it in a good way as well. So let alone see how we could, how that could be a viable way forward. But After the COVID, we were working on some of this during COVID, but after the COVID restrictions were lifted and we could meet in person, the consultant came in and various members from the organizations that make up JCS, those representatives came to Mongolia, went to Mongolia. And we had good workshops, good discussion, good input from those people as well as from our local partners. And what should the future of JCS look like? So out of that, the member organizations took all that meeting and took all that information and considered it for several months. And then several months later, a meeting was held to discuss and determine the answer to the big question, what should JCS look like? And at that meeting, it surprised me how different the opinions were from of the member organizations, the representatives that I thought knew Mongolia quite well, knew JCS quite well, had come in to visit many times, but they had many other responsibilities in other countries as well. But their view on what JCS should be and the staff view, the people who were in the country, foreign volunteers who were in the country, those views were very different. And that came out at the meeting that we had to make the decision. When that was realized, another meeting was set up to follow up on a number of things. But yeah, so just another step to work through it. We could see God in it. We sought very clear answers, and those very clear answers were not readily coming. But a number of things happened with those meetings, and it was decided that JCS should more or less remain the same, so remain a smaller scale. But also try and look at how we could have some larger projects to have more financial input into JCS, so it wouldn't all be or largely be on the foreign volunteers that were there. But out of those decisions, some things were not handled very well, and the executive director resigned. So at that time, I was asked to step in as acting director, which I did reluctantly, but feeling like there really was not much option. And this was meant to be only for a few months. Before the end of those months, the board asked me to serve as the interim director for 6 months. So there was a time period too. I prayed about it, and although I really wanted to resist it, I felt at peace that I should do it for that season. The search committee, after searching for a long-term director, suggested to the board that a team fill the executive director role. When I first heard the idea, I was excited about it. I was supportive of it. However, when they asked me to be a team member, I wasn't so thrilled about the idea. I did pray about it. I reached a point of feeling at peace to accept the role, while at the same time feeling a little bit sick to my stomach about it. But once again, I thought, for a season. This is a very basic summary of my years in Mongolia, but it gives a framework for what I'm about to share. I mentioned that I waited 10 years from the time I felt called and the time I finally went to the mission field in 1993. It seems like a long time to wait. But then when it was time, everything happened within a few months. There were quite a few coincidences, what some people would call coincidences, but we know them as God appointments. They couldn't have happened any other way. God was in those events. At various times, people would ask me how long I thought I would be in Mongolia. I answered honestly by saying, I don't know, but God will need to be as clear that God will need to be as clear with, to me that it is time to go as it was when it was, that will be time to leave as it was when it was time to go there. That clear call, all the things that happened, it was very clear. I wanted that clear type of timing and instruction, I guess. But it didn't quite happen that way. But many years I had joy and passion in what I was doing. Some of you know, I tend to do best when I'm doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, involved in a number of things at the same time. Years and years ago, after realizing my schedule and the variety of things I was doing, someone asked me, "Don't you get tired?" And yes, there were times I would get physically tired, but I had joy in what I was doing, so I felt I could balance things fairly well. Part of this joy came after I could fully accept that accounting and administrative work is God's work. It's not just preaching, teaching, and medical work that is acceptable on the mission field. This does not mean it was always smooth sailing. The first JCS staff retreat I attended, our speaker shared with us, God does not call you to the mission field for what you can do for him. He calls you as a training ground for you. I must have needed a lot of training for God to keep me in Mongolia for more than 30 years. And sometimes that training ground was rough in order to get my attention. When things are going well, I tend to rest at ease, not pay so much attention. God allows tough times, and these are usually the times of growth. This is what happened to me when I was able to leave Ulaanbaatar for a year of language study. I had been wanting to do more language study, but didn't see how this could be possible with my role in the JCS office. God allowed things to be stirred up to get my attention and consider other possibilities. Once I realized this and pursued language study, I moved forward with full peace. And it got me out of the city. Now, there were times of fear. When I lived in Bayan Hunger, I felt completely safe. However, there was an incident where someone threw a rock at my house. The rock was set back, the house was set back from the street and had, there was like a 7-foot fence around it. So they had to really throw the rock to reach the house, and it landed on the porch. Since I felt very safe in that community, I was surprised by this rock. But our local team had made some decisions about some things that some people didn't like. Was the rock related to this? I don't know. Maybe it's just the same timing. But I was thankful that the rock did not hit the window, but it did create an unease. But then I was reading in Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Yes, there may be times I will be afraid. I will have fear. But I have this great God that I can put my trust in. But it was actually verse 11 that really spoke to me. In God I trust and am not afraid. Same words, but just switched around. By trusting in God, I do not need to be afraid. What a wonderful assurance. There have been times after that incident that fear wanted to creep in, and I reminded myself, no, I trust in God. I am not afraid. So, my training ground. Amongst other things, listen when God is talking, redirecting, so he doesn't need to allow a tough time to get my attention. Trust at all times and not be afraid. In more recent years, seeking joy when it didn't come naturally. When I served in a role I was passionate about or maybe comfortable in, the joy came naturally. These past few years, I've been in a role that was more challenging. I needed to consciously look for the joy. This wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but it made me more intentional about looking for and seeing God in all things. Seeing the joy in all things and being content in that. Although I sensed peace when agreeing to serve as a member of the executive director team, I began to wonder if this was God's way of telling me that my time in Mongolia was drawing to a close. I couldn't see it as clearly as his direction of telling me Mongolia was where I was to serve, so I needed some time to process it. Mongolia Mission Partnership, Moorhead as part of that group, some of you were part of that discernment process for me. And I really appreciate you helping pray me through that. Part of the question was, is it time to leave the city like I had done 20 years earlier? Time to leave JCS? Maybe leave JCS but stay in Mongolia? Or was it time to leave Mongolia? So prayers helped me walk through this through several months of searching for the answer. Part of what led to the process was a time of waiting. JCS was waiting to find a long-term executive director. And at our November 2024 board meeting, the board chair shared a devotion from Somi about waiting. And that touched me. But about that same time, now I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you ever have scripture that when you read it, you've read it many times before, but when you read it, it really speaks out to you, it really jumps out at you? And in this part, I'd like to insert an I am phrase to go along with Roger's messages over the past 2 years. It's not really quite the same thing because it's not directly speaking of Jesus, but it's an I am phrase that has spoken to me, and it identifies what I need to do when I am searching or studying the scripture. And this reminder is from Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Listen. There are times that we read scripture that we may have read many times before. It can speak to us in a new way. So around the same time of the board meeting where the devotion was about waiting, my personal devotion was also about waiting. Genesis 41, about Joseph waiting for a response from the king. I dug a little bit deeper with this. Joseph waited for 2 years. So I thought, okay, 2 years. My term being on the executive director team, I can wait for 2 years. But then I read further. Joseph waited for 2 years in prison. My heart dropped. Although waiting would be 2 years, did I really feel like I was in prison? And honestly, I didn't. But I did feel trapped. I had the sense of being trapped. So it was a prison of a form, I guess. There seemed to be no other way for the immediate future. But then, a day or two later, I read further, and Joseph was delivered from prison and appointed as Pharaoh's right hand, a great leader. I paused and thought, what am I supposed to understand from this? thinking about the long-term executive director role. I really don't see that's for me. I can't do that. But then I was questioning, am I saying God can't do this? My mantra the last few years has been, God is in control. God has this. God can do anything. So was God trying to do something with me, through me? I didn't think I was missing something, but was I not listening carefully? The weight of this, of everything, was heavy. I felt I couldn't handle it. But of course, it wasn't me handling it. It was God handling it. I kept going, one day at a time. At the beginning of 2025, I started a plan to read through the Bible in 1 year. Every several years, I try and do this. At the end of February, I visited a JCS family in the countryside over the Lunar New Year, which is a three-day holiday, so a longer period. But this gave me some time to, some space and time to ponder several things. During this time, one morning I read in Deuteronomy 34 about Moses on Mount Nebo, just before he died. I actually didn't think too much about this passage when I read it, but later in the day, I hiked up on one of the smaller mountains near the town. And as I looked over the town, I reflected on what I had read that morning. Moses went up on Mount Nebo, and the Lord showed him the land. In verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. That's the end of the quote. So the Lord was basically telling Moses, you have brought my children to the promised land, but you will not enter. As I looked at the view from the mountain, I sensed the Spirit telling me, your work here in Mongolia is finished. Now, I am not comparing myself to great leaders like Joseph and Moses, but the situations they were in did speak to me and help me in my discernment process. As Mongolian Mission Partnership and a number of people were praying and a part of this discernment process, they asked me some very good questions. I tested my sense of my work finishing in Mongolia with Mongolian Mission Partnership, with Mennonite Mission Network, and was affirmed of this direction. The JCS board accepted the decision. My term with Mennonite Mission Network was extended by 6 months to allow for some transitions that needed to happen. There was an overwhelming sense of peace with the decision and the process. I can't say I was worried before, but I did have a sense of heaviness with the role I was in. When the decision that it was the right time to leave was made, that heaviness lifted. All the work was still there, but I finally released it to God and no longer felt the weight of it all. By God's grace, I continued to take one day at a time, and I continued to depend on God and know He has this. As I was preparing for today, I was reminded of a special highlight. The JCS IT administrator that I mentioned earlier, about 9 months after he started working for JCS, we had our annual staff retreat. He attended and seemed to enjoy the sessions. Prior to the retreat, he was open to Christianity and interested in Bible study and learning more about Jesus, but had not committed his life, as far as we knew, had not asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of his life. But he had attended the retreat with us. At the end of the retreat, we had communion together, and some people were surprised that he took part in it. Several asked me about it, since I worked closely with him. They asked if he understood what communion meant. So later I talked with him about it, and his response was beautiful. He understood what it symbolized and said, "I was ready to take it. God chose me." That just captures what we were there about. Another God moment I had was shortly before I left Mongolia. I had gone shopping to buy thank you gifts for each of the Mongolian Mission Partnership churches for many years of support. I failed to find something appropriate and had limited time to search. However, I had visited Buying Hunger about a month before leaving. One family reminded me of a time I had helped them. It was early in my time in Buying Hunger, and I don't remember it being much help, but it was a crucial time for them. They gave me a gift and then handed me a bag saying, "This isn't much, but it is for the churches that have been supporting you." This is actually family that I didn't expect to know how my support system worked. Most people in Mongolia don't know that. But later, as I was packing, doing the final packing, I checked the bag so I could pack it appropriately, and it had 7 magnets in it. There is no way that this family could have known that I had 7 supporting churches, 6 in the partnership and 1 other one. A God moment. God provides. It seems trivial, but it spoke mountains to me. So I would like to present Moorhead Mennonite Church with a magnet from the family in Buying Hunger as a reminder of the ripple effect, and Kurt addressed this as well, as the ripple effect your support has had over the years. My term with Mennonite Mission Network will end March 31st. I'll be sharing churches till then, doing some other assignments. I'll be traveling out to Elkhart 2 weeks from now. So I'll be wrapping things up with my service with Mennonite Mission Network. I do not know yet what my next step will be, but am trusting that God will reveal that to me in his perfect timing. I'd like to close with a verse from Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 27. "The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." May God be praised. May God be glorified. May God bless all of you.